Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. I hope you're having a great day today. I love it. Here in sunny California, the sun is shining, the birds are chirping, people are out walking their dogs. It's just a really great day. You know, I've told people, you know, since we've moved down here, it's really tough to have a bad day when you can go outside and get sunshine on your face and just really enjoy the day. And I hope that there are things for you. I mean, you know, some people, you know, that's not their thing, and it really is mine. But I do hope that there's something in your life that you can really do to help brighten your day, to make today a better day. Sometimes we wake up in the morning, and to use the old phrase, you know, we're like, good morning, Lord, how are you doing this morning? We just feel great, you know, the birds are chirping internally inside of us, if you will. There are other days that we wake up and it's like, oh, good Lord, it's morning. You know what I mean? You wake up, you're tired, you're worn, you've done probably too much. You know, maybe you're overdoing it and you need some rest. Or maybe you slept wrong and you know, I mean, there's just so many different reasons. We just have those different states that we wake up in the morning. The question becomes, do you have the ability? Do you have something in your life that you can help change that state? Any of you that have ever listened to Tony Robbins, you know, he talks about having the ability to snap, you know, and immediately change your state by putting yourself in a different, you know, way of presenting yourself, a different way of standing and breathing and expressing yourself. Maybe you need to use more arm movements. You know, maybe you need to stand up or whatever kind of thing just helps move you into that other state. And I really think that it's important for us as people to really think about, what state am I in now today? Not what state, you know, like, and yes, I'm in California, but what mental, what physical position have I put myself in for success? Because there's so much of our success that is totally reliant on how we're doing mentally and emotionally. We, you know, we'd like to live in that bubble where nothing affects us, bad things happen, and we just roll with it. But let's be honest. You know, if we get an angry email or call from a customer, it has an impact on how we feel and how we act that particular day. And the same thing is true when, you know, when our child wakes up and says something wonderful to us, or, you know, Kathy and I have this wonderful little 8-pound Yorkie, and, you know, it's really difficult to ever be too sad around her because she's just such an amazing, loving little creature. And I hope that, whatever the case may be, that you have those kind of things in your life too. Because in the end, you have a life to live. And that's what I want to talk to you today. I want to talk to you about your life, about your influence that you have in the world around you. You know, you've heard me say it many times. I close the show with it every single week. You are uniquely brilliant. You have been created very specifically for a purpose, and the world does need you. So now it's important that now that we've established that as a baseline, this is our starting point. The world needs who we are. We're here for a reason, for a purpose. Now it's important that we find ways to really, truly live out our purpose, to be a person of influence, to have that time from the beginning of our life, our birth, to the end of our life, our death, to have it be filled powerfully with meaning, with purpose, with things that make each of our days worth it. You know, and like I said, we can't control all of the things in our life that may come up. when that angry call comes from a customer, or when we have that wonderful embrace and hug from our loved ones. Those are not things that we can pre-program into our day. It'd be great if we could, but we just can't. You know, I mean, they happen. Life happens. But how we respond to that has a big impact on who we are, because we need to create an environment for ourselves that gives us the capability to become and be in the world that person of influence. You are influencing people. And the funny part about it is that most of the people that we're influencing, we don't know it. We'll have somebody come up to us and say, you know, I've been watching you. And in these days, it's even more so, you know, I mean, with Facebook and Twitter, LinkedIn, memes, you know, Snapchat, all the different ways that we can communicate in social media, there are so much opportunity for people to be watching us, to see this is who you say you are, and then this is what you do. Does the influence that you want to put out on the world, is it influencing the people that you want to influence? And more importantly, is that influence the influence you want to have? I mean, I often said to my kids growing up, you know, everybody's good for something. There are those people that are perfect examples of how to live in the life. And each of us can think of, you know, both people we've known personally as well as amazingly talented people that have stood for that place for us in life. But now the question is, who are we being that for in our life? You know, everybody's good for something. It's either a person that shows us a great way to live, or it's that person that's showing us powerfully how we don't want to be. Now, my encouragement to you is, let's focus on having an influence, an impact, a place in the world that makes people think of us as that person who is showing up, not just showing up, but showing up powerfully in their life, in their world, to be able to help influence them to do better. You know, every day when I sit down to do another show, whether it be to record with one of my guests or when I'm putting it all together, I think of the fact that what I'm saying here, it's going to live on forever. You know, it's not just for the hour the show broadcasts live or for a couple of weeks while it's on the internet. It's out there. It's forever. People generations from now can hear what I have to say. And, you know, I mean, a person could easily take that and have it just be overwhelming and daunting, and then they just don't step out. But what I've learned is that when we hide, we do the world a disservice. We're doing ourselves a disservice too, but it's really never meant and never been about us. We weren't placed on this planet so that we could build our own kingdoms. We were put here because there are people that we're meant to touch, lives that we're meant to influence from the beginning of our life all the way to the very end. There's never a place in there. And I know I've been in that place in my life where you just want to break. You just, you know, you want to zombie out. You want to be in the world but not really be alive. Ever felt that way? I know I have. I know there's been times when I've just hidden from the world. But what I always have to remind myself and come back to is there are people that are watching. It may be your kids. You may be the person of influence in the life of somebody who's going to change the world. But if you're not that mom, that dad, that brother, that sister to that person, what a loss it could be. Imagine, you know, and it doesn't matter whose name you put in there, Oprah, Lisa Nichols, Billy Graham, Dr. Martin Luther King, all of those people. Imagine if the influencers in their life had decided to take in the time off and be just like, eh, you know, I know I'm supposed to show up that way in the world, but I just don't feel like it today. I'm tired. I don't want to be an influencer in the world. I don't want to show up powerfully. We all feel that way. And that's okay. But then what we do is we dust ourselves off. We look ourselves in the mirror and we say to ourselves, whose life am I meant to impact today? Who can I influence to help them be a better piece of the world, that better part of the world that they were meant to be? How can I show up and do that today? So I encourage you, do that today. Show up. Be a powerful influence in your world. And we're going to share with you some best-selling authors that are just going to help you out today to be able to really make the impact and the influence that you were meant to make in the world today. Don't go away. We'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. Today we're talking about your influence on the world, your purpose. What were you put on this planet? How to influence the world by what you are meant to do. I really encourage you to know that you are important, you are special, and to really embrace that and then be able to live and be the influencer that you were meant to be on this planet.
Where is your purpose? And how can you find it? Where can it be revealed in your life? Well, I'm so excited to be able to introduce to you today Michelle Dawson, one of our latest best-selling authors, and her book, The Dash Factor, Where Your Purpose is Revealed and Destiny is Fulfilled. Welcome, Michelle. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here, Steve.
Oh, I'm excited to talk about your book. You know, I mean, it was fun to go through the process with you and really excited to see what came out the other end. So tell us a little bit about what the Dash Factor is.
The Dash Factor was a concept that came to me probably about 3 years ago, 2014. And it's really kind of a journey of self-discovery, but the whole concept came from, and I know this sounds morbid, but just funerals that I attended of friends and family members, and I was always fascinated reading their obituary. And when you think of the program, it always starts with their birth date, where it says sunrise, and then their date of their death, which is their sunset. And what really fascinated me was the dash in the center. And that dash is all that great information, that background story about their life and their family and their journey. And so that's where the Dash Factor really comes about, your journey in life and your purpose of why you, the Lord brought you on the earth.
There's a lot in most of our lives that dash encompasses.
Yes. A lot of twists and turns and a lot of surprises and unexpected events, but it all works together in the end.
So I know that the technical title of the book is the Dash Factor series. So this is going to be a whole series of books?
Absolutely. There's actually three volumes. that are going to come under the Dash Factor, and we launched the first one this week. And how that came to be, there was so much information that I really wanted to share in this book, and it was just too much to put in one book. And so just through your coaching and really looking and evaluating, we made a decision just to chunk it down to 3 volumes so it wouldn't overwhelm people with the information, but it would be a nice, easy read, but give people, you know, the direction, the call to actions that I think are necessary to really help transform their lives.
So let's talk about purpose.
Yes.
For somebody that's maybe just as totally lost, what is purpose?
Purpose is, when you think of the general definition of purpose, it's the reason why something exists. I mean, if you think of a car, the manufacturer of that car, the creator of that car, has a reason why they designed that car. There's a manual that comes with it. Anything goes wrong with it, they know how to fix that car. So it's really about why we were born when we were born, why we're in the families that we're in, and what it is that we're here to do. So it's really on a very high level definition why we exist. And we all have a reason of our existence, a purpose for being here. And sometimes it's a challenge for people to really discover that.
Well, and I think you bring up a good point in that, because I know for a lot of people, purpose isn't something that just comes easily. It's either A, very hidden, or it's something we fight against. So how does a person have their purpose be revealed in their life?
You know, sometimes we think that, you know, it's some lightning bolt that comes out the sky, but oftentimes if we look at our life and really study our life, and this is what happened with me, when you begin to look at your experiences, things that you love to do, the thing that really pulls on you, things that you're really passionate about, you'll begin to see a common thread. And finding that common thread through our life experiences really begins to unveil our purpose, what it is that we're good at, what it is that we enjoy doing, and then also what really serves others. And I think that's really important. Oftentimes we focus so much on what is my purpose, you know, why am I here, and we put the focus on ourselves, but the purpose is really about serving others.
So, you also have in the title of this book, Destiny Being Fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk in more detail about that. But before we go any further into that, can you tell us a little bit about the journey that you went on to have your purpose revealed in your life?
Oh, absolutely. It really started from a corporate background, and I was busy, you know, having a very successful career in corporate America, traveling all over the world, helping the business that I worked for launch these great systems to be more efficient. And I remember it was in 2004 when I kind of really had a wake-up call, where I was over in Germany, and we had did this incredible launch. Everybody was celebrating this launch. And I was sitting there at the celebratory dinner, and that thought came to me, I don't want to do this anymore. And it was so real that I thought I heard myself say it out loud where other people would have heard me. And so when I realized that it was that loud in my head, I said, okay, well, if this is not what I want to do, what is it that I want to do? Oftentimes we can say what we don't want, but we're not clear on what we really want. And so during that next couple of weeks, once I returned back to the States, I really began to do some soul searching and meditation, and really looking at my life and reviewing my life and say, okay, if this is not the path that I want to be on, if this is not fulfilling to me, what exactly is that? And when I began to look at the common thread of what I enjoy doing, it was helping people put things in place and put systems in place, whether it's in business or even in their personal life, and helping them really finding their place in the world, what their passion is, what their own purpose is, and how their purpose in their personal life and their professional life intersects and comes in alignment. And so that's how I began to really understand my purpose and then put things in place to be able to bring my life in alignment with that purpose.
And I think that really segues well into the whole concept of destiny being fulfilled in your life, because I think a lot of times we buy into this message that we're supposed to instantly know what our purpose is and that destiny is just a straight line, whereas, let's be honest, for most all of us, it's about as zigzag as it can get.
That's right. That's right.
So how do we allow our destiny to be fulfilled?
I think our destiny is fulfilled as we live life and we make decisions and choices that align with the direction that our life should be taken. One thing that I found with, and this is one of the sections in the book or chapters in the book, about activating choice versus waiting for chance. And in that section, really, I deal with how oftentimes we just let things happen. And there's some things that are happening in our life that are beyond our control, good and bad. But when we are in a position to make choices in line with our purpose, it causes us to walk right into situations, circumstances, opportunities that open up the way for us to experience our destiny, what the situations, the real reason why we're here. And I think that's really key, that it's not, like you said, a direct line for many of us. There's often twists and turns that we go through in order to reach and fulfill that destiny. But as we align with our purpose and make the right choices, even in some of the wrong choices we make, we find that our purpose and our destiny begin to intersect.
I love that phrase between choice and chance. You know, living in a world, in a life where you actually have control as opposed to, you know, life is just thrust on you and you don't have any choices.
Exactly.
I think
we live our lives like, and I think I use this example as well. We live our life like thermometers where we just have to, whatever happens, we react to it, we respond to it, and we have no control of it. But I think there's so many places in our lives where we can live our lives like thermostats, where we set the tone, we set the intention, and things around us begin to adjust to the intention that we set.
So let's talk for a minute to the people who are in that space. They're living their life based on chance. They are very much a thermometer, not a thermostat. What would you say is kind of a hint to help people move to living more of a life of choice?
I think the first thing that's important is to remember that we have a choice. We can make choices. Sometimes we feel that our life is totally out of control and whatever happens, we just have to accept. But we do have the power of choice. We do have a will. And so I think it's really important for us to take that power that we have, that we've been empowered with, and with situations where we can make decisions, be intentional with those choices and not just let life happen to us. There's always going to be situations, like I said before, that are out of our control, but there's more that's within our control than out of our control. And so when we're intentional, when we understand our purpose, we are more likely and more empowered to make choices that are aligned with that purpose.
I was actually talking about a quote from a good friend of mine, and what he says is, control what you can, and don't worry about what you can't control.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great quote.
I think a lot of times we spend so much time frustrated over the things that are out of our control or are somebody else's to deal with to begin with that we miss out on living our fulfilled destiny because we're trying to control everybody else's.
Exactly. And the only thing we truly can control, even when situations are out of control, is our attitude toward the situation. And so that's one thing, regardless of what's happening, whether it's something that we can choose to move forward in or something that's totally out of our control, the one thing that's constant in either one of the situations that we do control is our attitude and our reaction to it.
So some people are blessed, you know, they're kind of happy-go-lucky, that kind of thing. And other people, they really struggle with their attitude. Is there a secret to being able to learn to really control your attitude and how you choose to act on things that are out of your control?
I think with not necessarily a secret, but what I would say or call it is perspective. And so even in the worst situation, I've found out in my life, even in some of the worst situations, it's possible to look at it and put things in perspective. And so as bad as something may be, things could be worse. As bad as a situation is, what positive thing can you see in that situation? Focus on that. And so even like we're saying, in situations where things are bad, when things look like they're out of control, me personally, exercise that I take myself through is like, okay, this looks like it's going real bad. What do I really have control over? What can I learn from this? Even in bad situations, there's things that we can learn. And when you have the mindset, regardless of what happens to me, I'm going to turn it into a learning experience, it helps with our attitude as well.
I used to tell my kids, everybody's good for something. Some people are examples of what to do, and some people are good examples of what not to do.
There you go. Absolutely true.
So we love to help people have, actions that they can take. And there is just a ton of actions in the Dash Factor series where purpose is revealed and destiny is fulfilled. But they got to get the book to get all of them.
Yes.
How about we just give them a little taste of an action that they could take after having read the book?
I would say the number one action that I would like to share with them today, those that are listening, is first, believe that you have purpose. And the action to take is kind of earlier what we were talking about. Look over your life. Find what has been the common thread, the common theme that has kind of woven itself through every life experience that you've had so far on this journey. And just kind of do some introspection.
The book is called The Dash Factor Series, Where Purpose is Revealed and Destiny is Fulfilled. It's by Michelle Dawson. It's an Amazon bestseller, and you can get it on Amazon today. Michelle, thanks so much for spending some time with us here today.
Thanks for having me today.
Where is your dash? And what are you going to do with your dash between your birth and your death? I encourage you to really make great use of your dash factor in your life, because you are a person of influence. You do have a purpose in this world, and I really do want to see you fulfill it and be the best you that you can possibly be. We'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. Today we're talking about being a person of influence. What are we doing with our lives that can impact greatly the people around us. We never really know who it is that we're impacting. And well, and sometimes we do. But the thing about it is that we need to take seriously the influence that we have on the people around us. We are an influencer in our world. Sometimes that influence is on one person, and sometimes it's on masses. It's on thousands and tens of thousands of people. And either way, we want to make sure that we are being that person of influence, that we're making the impact that we were meant to make in the world, so that we can, through our impact, empower others to also have the impact that they were meant to have in the world. I want to share with you a little piece of one of the interviews that I did. It's been some time ago now. It's been, oh gosh, almost 2 years ago now, with Callum Lang. Callum talks all about how to be an influencer and how you, at whatever level you're at with your life, with your business, can truly be a person of influence in your world. So I encourage you to listen in as Callum shares some tips on how you can be an person of influence. Tells us a little bit about his life, his journey, what got him to this point, and how he influences the world around him, and how you can do the same.
Born in New Zealand, grew up in the UK, and I've been living in Asia for the last 14 years. And for most of that time, I've been starting building buying and selling small businesses. So it's sort of the small business world in across multiple industries is where I spend most of my time. And the last 18 months, I've been helping a very good friend of mine to launch one of his businesses into Asia, which is a business specifically designed to help small business owners and executives to raise their value and their visibility within their industries.
That's excellent. So one of the things that you do is help people build their authority, their credibility, maybe even the word celebrity in their industry. Which I've seen on your website, you use the concept of the term of being a person of influence. Can you talk a little bit about what it means to be a person of influence?
Yeah, so this is actually something that Daniel Priestley, who's been a friend of mine for about 10 years, discovered. Not so much discovered, but sort of uncovered, I guess. And it's really the realization that in every industry and every niche, you've got a few people at the top of that industry. And they're the ones that, the media always goes to for quotes. They're the ones that top staff want to work with, top clients want to work with. And if you're in that situation, as some of us get an opportunity to be in that place, you realize it's just you're playing a much more fun game. You get visibility of opportunities before they generally reach the market. You kind of get to have conversations at a very high level about strategic opportunities. So it's a very nice place to be. And one of the things that Dan realized, having met a lot of people that were playing this game and playing at the highest level, was that they weren't necessarily any brighter than you or I. They hadn't been born with any sort of extra special gifts. But what they were very, very good at was packaging the value that they did have in a way that created maximum value for other people. And so Daniel ended up writing a book called How to Become a Key Person of Influence, which is a great little book. And off the back of that, created a 40-week program to help small business owners and executives to raise their value and their visibility in their industry. And that's what I've been helping him. So he's launched it in the UK, Australia. I've helped launch it in Asia, which is obviously a very, very exciting market at the moment. But yeah, it's that idea of being in a position in your industry or in your niche where you can kind of affect change and have the biggest impact.
I know when we think about people like that that are really people of influence and really the big hitters in a particular industry, our minds usually go to either celebrities or, you know, large business owners like, you know, Bill Gates and Donald Trump and people like that. But is it necessarily those kind of people, or is it people that have smaller businesses that sometimes can actually be the person of influence in their industry?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those big players are great examples of playing at a very big level. But, you know, we live in you know, great times now to be able to build up a customer base based around values rather than around geography. So, you know, even 10, 20 years ago when you were building a business, most of your clients would be in the same geographic area. Now you can build a business based around people that share the same values as you. But they could be, you know, any of the four corners of the world. And you don't necessarily need a huge number either. I mean, if you're you might be a vegan bodybuilder, which is a fairly niched business area, but you know that there are enough other people interested in vegan bodybuilding around the world that would want to learn from you and explore what you're eating and how you build your business around that. So the nice thing about the times we live in now is that there's an almost infinite amount of niches that you can go into and still find enough people globally that would be interested in working with you if you can become the authority in that space.
So let's talk a little bit then. I'm a small business owner. I want to be seen as the authority in my industry. What are some of the key elements that I need to put in place in my business in order to become that person?
Yeah, so first of all, this isn't about kind of tricking anyone into, you know, it's not about manipulating the market or doing this in an unethical way. You need to have spent some time in your industry. You need to understand how you can create value for customers. But equally, it doesn't mean that you have to have spent 20 years in the industry. It doesn't mean that you have to go and get vast numbers of certificates and training programs and that sort of stuff, because often these people that you see that are high profile, actually they're not the most qualified. They're just very good at articulating it. So the first thing is your ability to articulate how you create value, and in our terminology we call it the pitch. Your ability to pitch an idea into existence and pitch it in a way that other people will go out there and pitch it on your behalf. And I think, yeah, for most small business owners, we tell people 100 times a week what we do for a living. But we actually don't give much thought into how that message is resonating. So one of the first things that we do with our clients is get them to sit down, follow a framework, and get very, very clear about how they create value in the world and how they articulate that. So the first thing is pitching, and really, you know, whether it's a Donald Trump or a Richard Branson or any of these guys, nothing happened until they were able to pitch it into existence. Nothing happened until they were able to persuade an investor or persuade top staff members to come and work with them or clients to take a risk on them. So pitching is key. The second of the five elements that we get our clients to work on is getting published. Whether that's writing a book or just getting regularly published on blogs or industry magazines, it's a way of getting your intellectual property out into the world. And it's there's a couple of kind of really interesting parts about it. The first is by sitting down and writing, it actually forces you to examine what you know and what you don't know, which is a very useful process to go. We generally, we're all very busy. We don't spend that much time on introspection. So it's a useful process from that point of view. But it also, again, we live in a time where you can write a blog and you just got no idea who that's going to resonate with at what point in the future. I mean, it's, you know, it's fascinating how many people, you know, can read an article from, you know, something that you wrote years ago, and the message resonates with them and they seek you out because they want to do business with you. So publishing is also really about building your credibility in the industry. It's proving that you've got a viewpoint, proving that you care. The third one that we get our clients to focus on is building a product ecosystem. And what I mean by that is a lot of small business owners are doing the sort of typical time for money exchange. You know, they're charging by the hour or by the month, the consultancy or whatever it is. And there's a very natural glass ceiling to how much money you can make if you're in that environment. So with all of our clients, we get them to, build up a product ecosystem, which includes, it might include free gifts that they give out to prospects. It might include, some low value, products and some high value products. And the interesting thing is when you have that ecosystem, you're never really sure which one is generating the most interest in you, but you know that you're always going to have a level of interest. It's kind of, if you like, look at someone like Jamie Oliver, the celebrity chef. I think he's fairly well known in the US now. But he has restaurants, he has books, he has food lines, he does sponsorships. You know, if you want him to come and speak at your event, you pay probably $100,000 to have him come and speak, yet he'll go and give a TED talk for free. So he has an ecosystem around him, and at some points the restaurants will be the major generator, and some points his new books will be the major generator, but he's always got this flow of customers coming into his ecosystem. And so we encourage all of our clients to build up that ecosystem so they're touching people at many more points than a traditional business would. And then the two more, there's profile and partnership, and this is really about amplification. So once you've got this great pitch and you've got credibility through your publishing and you've got a product ecosystem, then you want to have more of it. You want to raise your profile. And it's not about, you know, it's not about being mobbed as you walk down the street or, you know, that level of profile. But it's just so that if somebody comes into your community and says, you know, who's the top guy I should talk to about, holistic health, or who's the person I should talk to, about fitness or about accountancy, yours is the name that's going to come up. So just making sure that if people are asking about your industry, your name is the one that shows up is what profile's about. And then finally, partnerships, which is kind of, I guess, my favorite part. And it's really we call it the money step, because it's where you leverage all of the value that you've created up until this point, and you work with other people that perhaps have a distribution channel or they have a stronger brand. And you partner with them to get out to the world. And you look at the success of any big business, and you can see the inflection points where they've done a successful partnership, which takes them to the next level. And I think most small business owners kind of inherently get this idea that if I was to partner with some of these major brands, then it would transform my business. But oftentimes we try to do those partnerships before we've got the other four bits in place. So, you know, if I go to a MasterCard or a Google and I say, look, I've got this great business, can we partner? They're not really going to be interested. Yet if I've gone through that process, I've built a remarkable pitch. I've built credibility in the industry through my publishing. I've got a great product ecosystem, and I've raised my profile. Actually, the biggest opportunities I'm going to get will be inbound partnership opportunities. It will be people that have seen what I'm doing, like what I'm doing, see an opportunity for me to help them, and we'll get in touch. And that's often where the best partnership opportunities come from. So those are the five P's that we work on with our clients. And it has a remarkable impact on people's ability to influence their industry.
That's a really great methodology to look at it. Your pitch, who are you? Who are you dealing with? Being published, having some credibility, having some outside places, whether it be media outlets, Amazon, different places like that, that have invested enough into you that that they're willing to say, yeah, I'll sell your product, or I'll post your blog post on my site, those kind of things. A product ecosystem, which, we could spend decades on talking about building your product. but, in the end, you've got to have something to sell to people. If you have the greatest pitch in the world and then somebody's just dying to do business with you and you don't have anything to give them, well, that's going to be a problem. Profile, really having people know who you are. I mean, it goes back to pitch, but it's like the reverse of that. First, you need to be able to say who you are, and I see a lot of people struggle with that. But then secondarily, you need to have that down to the point where you are hearing other people coming back and saying, this is the person. Yes. So when you were talking about, the guy that's a celebrity chef, everybody knows he's a celebrity chef. So regardless of where he's at, that's what they identify him as. That's great for profile. Partnership, I like that. I think sometimes we try too hard to force joint ventures with big companies rather than really developing those other four and being open to people coming to us.
I definitely agree. And actually, I've built all of the businesses that I've built over the years. I've built extensively on partnerships, and I kind of teach on that topic as well. And I think one of the other things, the common mistakes that people make with partnerships is that they put almost too much faith and consequently too much pressure on partnerships. So when I do partnerships, I will try and partner with lots of different companies in a very small way to start with. And then those that naturally work and evolve, we will build into bigger partnerships. And what I see a lot of people doing is they get in a discussion about a partnership, and it's like they're so built up and excited about this partnership. And if this one partnership works, it's going to transform my business. And so they put too much pressure on the partnership right from day one. There's too much need for it to work. And more often than not, it doesn't work because, partnerships by their very nature, organizations are complex things with individual needs, and they're at different time cycles, and there's lots of reasons why a partnership won't work. So, again, when we're working with our clients, we encourage them to do lots and lots of little partnerships to get comfortable with that. Not put too much reliance on any one partnership. But once you start to get that traction, once you find a company, and often it's a company that you weren't expecting to be a great partnership, but you just happen to resonate with the individual you're working with, the timing is right for them, it's right for you, and suddenly these amazing partnerships can flourish, whereas the one company that you thought could transform your business, well, there's probably 1,000 other companies that thought that they could transform their business, and they've got a lot of other objectives going on. So I think taking the pressure off the partnerships, but just being conscious that it is, like, if you get it right, that's the one that's going to really take your business to the next level.
And I think as a perfect example of that could be you and I. It was actually, I think, your press person or something that contacted me and said, you know, would you like to build your influence in the Asian market? And our podcast isn't, you know, very much out into that market yet. And I was like, yeah, that'd be a great thing. And so we then have this discussion via this podcast. You know, in my particular business, that's a great way to have a beginning type of a partnership with us, and then we can build it from there.
Totally. And let me just, because I think this is probably of interest to your readers as well. So I'm out in Singapore in Asia. We've got a big community of small business owners, both local and expat, that are, you know, that they're keen, they're enthusiastic. There's a wealth of opportunity in Asia, and they're very keen to learn. So, you know, listening to podcasts, listening to experts, and it comes back to profile as well. You know, what your podcast does is it gives people a platform to build their profile, to resonate with other people. And conversely, like when somebody listens to your podcast and then, you know, they enjoy your questions, your approach to interviewing, and they say, yeah, look, I want to listen to more of those. So you never know where these opportunities are going to come from. And like I say, most of the best partnership opportunities actually are not ones that you go after. They're the ones that find you because they like what you're doing.
Absolutely. You know, and the other thing to it is without having said it, one of the things you've said on each one of those 5 points is it's good to have somebody that's outside of your company that's advising you, a coach, a mentor, an advisor board, whatever that might look like in your company. You were talking several times about you help your businesses do such and such, and it's good to have that person that isn't daily invested and isn't, you know, right down there in the dirt with you, because sometimes they can stop and go, hey, did you realize that, you know, you've dove in head first into this partnership when in fact there's these other 5 that you could also be doing that may be just as impactful. So I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, and just to touch on that, I mean, that's when I first left the corporate world. I was only in it for a couple of years before I started my first business, but it was very exciting to me being my own CEO of the company, and you know, suddenly I had the freedom to do everything that I wanted. And within a month, I realized that was really stupid because I had the freedom to do whatever I wanted. So I had to kind of force some accountability on me, and the way that I did that and have done with every other business that I've ever created is almost the first step I do is to go out and get an advisory board. And generally I will find people from 4 or 5 different industries or different levels of experience or the different expertise. And just very casual approach. I'll just say, look, I admire what you've been doing in the industry. I'd just like the opportunity to buy you a coffee or lunch once a month or once a quarter, and just share with you what I'm doing in the business and if there's any obvious stuff that you know, you can stop me making a mistake or you see an opportunity, that would be worth me buying you lunch. And generally what I've found is if you phrase it like that and you're not kind of being demanding on their time or, you know, asking them to be a Mr. Miyagi that's going to teach you everything, but you're very respectful of the time. You're just asking one or two very targeted questions about their field of expertise. The most people are very, very happy to help. And when they see that you're developing it, when you see that you take on their ideas and you test it and hopefully you get some progress, then they become more involved. But it's then their choice. And very often the advisors in my companies have actually become investors, have become partners, and you know, often we end up finding ways to work very closely together, and can often end up, you know, working together for years and years. But it starts with that idea of getting somebody outside of your business that can give you a fresh set of eyes. It's very important.
Always be willing to take the advice. You know, there's the old saying, when you're green, you're growing. And when you become ripe, that's actually the first stage of beginning to rot. And the last thing we want to have happen in our business. Let's change just a little bit here and look at the other side of it. What are the things that most businesses find are keeping them from being a greater influence in their niche?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest challenges that small business owners have is just not being in a particularly great environment. So you kind of, you come into to work, and either you're working on your own or you've got a small team, and there's kind of a pressure to be busy doing stuff. And so what happens is that there's a never ending to do list of stuff to be done. And so we tend to pick the easy and the quick things that we can kind of make some progress on. But very often those aren't the high value activities. So one of the things that we do with our clients, and, you know, obviously can be done with a KPI program, but it can also be done sort of at a small informal mastermind level, is to surround yourself with people that will hold you to a higher level and people that will question where you're spending your time. So, you know, obviously within the Key Person of Influence program, our objective for everyone in that program is that they become key people of influence in their industry.
I want that for you. I want you to see yourself in that light, because you are a key person of influence in your industry, in your world, in the part of the universe that is you. You are influencing the people around you. You are so unique. You are so special. And you really are needed by this world to use your influence to make our world a better place. It's what is in store for you. It's what you were here for. It's your purpose. It's your destiny. It's that thing that you can do, as Michelle said, in the dash, in that space between was born and when they passed. What are you doing with your dash factor to help be a person of influence in your world? Because I need you to understand, there isn't anybody in this world that's an accident. As T.D. Jakes says, and I love this statement, God was so interested in having you come into the world that he didn't care who it took. The two people, in order for you to be created, he needed you here to exist in this world. Because you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. And the world does need you. I want you to know that. We want you, we need you to be that person of influence, to live in your dash and fulfill your dash factor here in this world. Know that Kathy and I are here with bestsellersguild.com to help you share your story, to help you influence your part of the world, to be a key person of influence with all of the people that you come in contact with. We want to help you live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. I want that for you. I see that for you, and I know you can fulfill that destiny, your influence for the people you come in contact with, and you can live as a thriving entrepreneur. Until next time, have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.